Our scripture passage for today comes to us from Acts chapter 2. It's the story of the first church when the Pentecost Sunday or Pentecost Day, when the Holy Spirit came in power and lots of people were there, and Peter preached a sermon, and this is what the writer Luke writes in the book of Acts. He says, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." Join me in a prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this amazing passage that brings us back to Pentecost. It brings us back to the day that the first church began and what the first church did. And God, we want to be consistent. We want to be in the shadow of that first church. We want to be a church that is faithful to what you have called us to be. And so this morning, as we talk and look at your word some more and remember and look forward and do all the things that are important to help chart our future, we ask first and foremost, if we've taken this church back to be ours, Jesus, we give it to you because it's yours, and you're the head. And may you be in control. May you guide us and direct us in every way. I pray these things in your name. Amen. As Pastor Michael said, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of our first worship service, and it happened on April 2nd, 1995, the first time we gathered in a cafeteria, and actually it was at Desert Arroyo Middle School where we met for about our first 6 to 8 weeks. And last Sunday was actually our 21st Easter and our 21st 6 a.m. sunrise service. We did a sunrise service the very first Sunday and the very first Easter. And when we started with the sunrise services, we didn't do them up where we're doing them right now. We were down on the playing field. We were down in the middle of the place where they play soccer these days. And in our second year, I still remember this story that as I was welcoming people, all of a sudden I heard this very familiar sound. It's very familiar. It was a familiar sound because in my growing up years, I spent a lot of time in landscape maintenance, and it was the sound of a water sprinkler. And it was not just a little homeowner water sprinkler like you have in your yard. It was the sound of a Toro commercial water sprinkler, and it was putting out a beam of water about that big, and it was making its way toward us. And I made a brilliant leadership decision about that time. Split second, I might add, too. I announced, we need to move, and we need to move now. So to avoid about 60 or so unplanned baptisms on that day, we marched the troops up the hill to the approximate place where we have the service today. And it's been there ever since. And it just is one of those stories about how God leads in the most unexpected ways sometimes to get you in the place where you need to be. And as I was reading the text this morning over these last weeks, that sprinkler experience brought new meaning to the text today about the early church when Peter preached and 3,000 people were baptized. I just doubt that that's the way that they did it, but it certainly would have been an effective way to do it. Matthew 28, Jesus tells us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, Jesus said, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And of course, those three passages have really been the central core of who we aspired to be from the very beginning and still to this day. The calling is on us to follow the pattern that Jesus set, to follow the pattern that was in that early church. These passages, along with the Acts chapter 2 passages that I read earlier, tell us and have sort of formed our vision. It's on the board. And these are actually, these three points are on every single council agenda that we every meeting that we have with our church leadership, to gather and invite people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus, to grow to be more like Jesus, and then to go out and share the love of Jesus. And very simply, this morning we're going to talk about those three items, what those mean for us today. And we're going to look back, we're going to look back, and then we're going to look forward too. In the Acts chapter 2 passage, it starts with a statement that Peter preached, and more than 3,000 people were baptized. God uses lots of different ways for people to come to faith. Our worship gathering is certainly one of those places where God touches people and brings them to faith. But honestly, it's been my experience that, especially in our day, even more people come to faith as a result of friendship, of one-on-one sort of relationships, people investing in other people. A while back, I remember receiving a letter from a man named Bill. He and his wife had attended Light of the Desert for about a year, and then they were transferred, as soon as they came, about a year later, they were transferred to another city for their work. But during this short time that Bill was in this neighborhood, within Light of the Desert, Bill and his wife were befriended that year by neighbors who happened to be Light of the Desert members. And Bill wrote this letter. He says, I want you to know that I cannot quite explain this transformation in me. I can say that it's been a gradual process developing over many years, but its completion was rather rapid, taking place just over a few months. As a child, after being baptized, confirmed, and saved in a Christian church, I rejected mainstream Christian doctrine and went on my own search for meaning and purpose in life. For the next 30 years, I tried to fill my emptiness with just about everything imaginable, including alcohol, drugs, women, psychology, Buddhism, Taoism, meditation, secular humanism, and the list goes on. Modern psychology and Eastern religions teach us to search within ourselves for the answer. And I can attest that no matter how long or hard you search there, you will never find the answer in yourself, because it's all about Him, not about me. I understood this on an intellectual level after reading Mere Christianity, given to me by my dear neighbors. Yet there was one more step. I had to accept it in my heart. Listening to the Word of God accomplished this, thanks to my neighbors for leading me back to the flock, back into church at Light of the Desert. Several times in the past few years, God has put me on my knees in deep pain. At this time, I didn't understand what was happening or why. I only felt grief and confusion. In retrospect, I know that these were trials from God. And it is so clear to me now that God had to put me on my knees several times, in fact, to break my stubbornness and pride. C.S. Lewis said that pain is God's megaphone. It is His way of arousing us from spiritual lethargy. Our problems are not punishment. They are wake-up calls from a loving God who will do whatever it takes to bring us back into fellowship with Him. I know that God has tested me by bringing my marriage to the breaking point on more than one occasion. It was a necessary step to teach me about true love and forgiveness." That was an excerpt from a very long letter, but it was a very pointed letter, and it's amazing. We've had many people like Bill come to faith at Light of the Desert, and some you know about and some you never know about, like Bill, because they kind of pass in and pass out our time, their time frame here. But it just made me remember. It just reinforced to me that you and I, when we're out in our neighborhood, when we're out in our school place, when we're in our workplace, your witness, your words, your actions of love, they're absolutely the most powerful thing that there is. The most powerful thing that there is. You never know who's going to be listening. And you never know who's going to be touched. So that's what we're here to first do. We're first here to gather. And we're first here to invite. The next thing that we're here to is to grow to be more like Jesus. We're here to live in an authentic community, because that's a lot of the times where that's growing begins. This is about all the people around us, and whether it's one person or 200 people or 2,000 people of us, the most overpowering thing that people will notice is not the very inspiring music, although we have very inspiring music, and a captivating message. Some days when Pastor Michael's preaching, we have a captivating message. Or an awesome facility, and God knows we're still pinching ourselves that God has given us this amazing, amazing home. Or even the healthiest donuts in town and the most robust coffee. All those things are great things. They're important things. But the number one thing that people notice, and the number one thing that makes people want to be part of a community of faith is you. Is when you and I are inviting, when you and I are friendly, when you and I are loving and caring and reaching out and we remember each other. It's almost like people get the message, it's almost like they want me to be here. It's almost like they want me to be here. See, being an authentic community means that we don't pretend. We're not here for a show. We're not here to impress others with what I have done or what I own or what stuff I have. Authenticity and honesty is contagious, and it creates an atmosphere where healing can take place. And that's what happened in the early church. Acts chapter 2 says that they worshiped together, they served together, they ate together, they shared with each other, and they helped those who were in need. And that's what happens here. Growing happens when we serve. Growing happens when we get together in little groups of people and read God's word and pray together and care for each other. And then we're challenged to take the next step. We're challenged to spend time listening to God's word regularly. That's the goal of our 15 minutes in 2015, and I guarantee life won't be the same as if you're really listening to God during that time. It's a challenge to listen, and not only to God's word, but also to hear that nugget, that special unique message for you on that day. And then, of course, not just to hear it, but to take the next step. Jesus is asking, okay, now what are we going to do about that together? What are we going to do? God is able to use us. God is able to grow us up. And if you're interested in maybe even being a part of a group like this, we have little groups called grouping groups. We have Bible studies. We have something called a huddle. Things that are going on in our life together. They're kind of all have a little different format, but they all basically are about the same thing: of hearing God, listening to God, and then allowing God to say, "All right, what are we going to do about that in your life?" Third thing. We're called to change the world. Wow, that sounds pretty presumptuous, doesn't it? Called to change the world. Very simply, though, when a Light of the Desert person or for that matter, any Christian, sets foot in their school, in their workplace, in their neighborhood, in their family, in their grocery store, at the YMCA, we want it's God's desire that the people around them be literally lit up. Lit up. Because, you see, the light of Christ is shining through you, and it's reflecting off you and shining to other people. People are being influenced by the joy of the Lord. They're being influenced by the peace that passes understanding. They're being influenced by the unconditional love of Jesus. Families are being strengthened. Workplaces are being transformed. Marriages are becoming more committed. Poverty and hunger are being reduced. Drug and alcohol abuse is being replaced with people trusting their life for their challenges. We want Jesus to be cherished in this community, and the love of Jesus to become the norm in Cave Creek and Carefree and North Phoenix and North Scottsdale and Desert Hills and Anthem and all the rest, and in the whole world. You see, it makes a difference. It makes a difference where Jesus, through you and I, is really present. It really makes a difference. You might say, whoa, that's way too big for my pay grade. That's way too big for me alone. And you know what? You're right. It is. God never said that this is something for you to do alone. But the scriptures are very clear. I love Philippians. I love the story, Elizabeth in the story of when her son John the Baptist was born. She said, anything is possible with God. God goes far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine, and God continues to do the unexpected in our midst. And that's where prayer comes in, and that's why the last thing we do here on Sunday morning is we remind each other that Jesus goes with us into the mission field. Jesus goes with us wherever we're going. In this 20th anniversary, we're trying to remember what Jesus is doing in our midst. Pastor Michael's going to talk to you a little bit more about what we're calling LOD stories. But the most exciting thing to happen is when Jesus breaks through to people like Bill, in our neighborhoods. And God has used us to break through to many people like Bill. And what a blessing that is. Another twist to counting our blessings is to remember how God provides in His perfect timing. And we have so many stories to tell about that one. But I wanted to relate to one that I remembered back from our very, very early years. Very early in our life, when we'd been worshiping for about 6 or 8 months or so, our leadership team sat down at my kitchen table, and it was our job to draw up a budget for 2006. We needed to become self-supporting. And so we sharpened our fine-point accountant pencils, and we went to work. And we knew that one of the priorities was going to be that at least a tithe, at least 10 to 15% of the offerings were going to be given away in mission. They were going to be given away to the under-resourced, to those who were in need. That was part of our budget, and quite frankly, we knew that that was part of our commitment because we need to give. That's part of who we are. And then we estimated out the rest of our ministry needs, and then we added up all the line items, and I remember the budget total came up to about $85,000. And there was this deep moment of silence, because that was a big number. That was a big number. And we knew that this was going to be a God thing. We knew that this was going to be a God thing. So we prayed, and we gave it to Jesus and said, Jesus, this church is yours. Always has been, always will be. And I remember that was on a Sunday evening that we did that. The very next morning, Monday morning, God's timing is so amazing, and He must have known we needed this, because we received a call from a very small church in northeastern Iowa, and one of their members had a winter home in the valley, and they had attended Light of the Desert in those first months a couple times, and they'd convinced their little church in northeast Iowa to give us a gift from their memorial fund that would amount to about $7,500 a year over the next 5 years. When I told the leadership team the news, we realized right away, God, this is exactly from you. The timing is uncanny of how this occurred. God answered in a perfect timing. God was saying, I've called you to be a light in this community. And just in case you were having a little bit of doubt, which I think you probably were, I will provide. I'm going to show you that I provide. And I'm going to trust, and I want you to trust me. And if it looked like you needed some, and it looked like you needed some encouraging last night, so here it is. Others might call that a coincidence. They might use that word, a coincidence, to describe that gift and even its timing. Folks, that was no coincidence at all. No way, no how. That was a message from God. And over these next weeks and months, and I pray over, we're just going to continue to do it over our whole lifetime. We want to recall stories of God's faithfulness in your life. Over the years, the stories that we're going to tell, and right up to the call of Pastor Michael and Denise, because we believe that you guys are God's provision, God's timing for us here too, that we're so grateful for you. We have been so blessed over the years, and some of you have some amazing stories, and I know you're going to bless us all with them. And God has blessed us in so many ways, and every day we're learning that we'll never outgive God. We'll never outgive God. We are discovering what it means to bless other people. You guys recall when we hosted the Feed My Starving Children packing event right here in this space a couple years ago. God not only used us to bless kids and make 120,000 or so meals, but the joy of you and I and over 500 volunteers coming together in this place to pack meals and have fun was just amazing. And right now we're trying to work together with the rest of the churches in this North Phoenix area to have a regular rotation, to have an annual event where there's a mobile packing event up here in our area. Last year was also a big focus when we began a long-term relationship with our brothers and sisters in Kasola, Uganda, and we're off to a great start with that. God let us visit them, and we funded a new church, and we dug a well, and now we have more than 30 kids who are being sponsored, and there's many more to come, I know, with that. And each week, we watch something happen that happens in an amazing way. We have lots of visitors that come to worship. Easter was a big Sunday for visitors, and as I watched, I saw you welcome and take an interest in them, and that's, you know, that's so important because you're very good at that. God is looking for willing hearts. He's looking for all of our hearts. He's looking for all of us to take Christ to our jobs. He's looking for plumbers and engineers and accountants and home builders and computer geeks and world diplomats who will do their jobs to serve Jesus, will do their jobs as if Jesus was doing it. And he's looking for all of us to take Christ to our friends and our families who are neighbors, and all of us have people like Bill who live close to us, every single one of us. And he's calling us to invest in the new generation. Talk to Sean Chappelle and Michael, Pastor Michael, for if you're interested in helping out with student ministries and young people ministries. He's looking for pastors and teachers and musicians. Is God calling you this morning to one of those? Or maybe you can encourage somebody else who you see God calling, and maybe they just need a little bit of encouragement and affirmation. Some of us are being called to go to Uganda and Bosnia. Mike Mellison is in Bosnia right now, even as we speak. And it's a ministry that it's primarily through their family, but we're helping to encourage and support them, to help a very, very, very small church in Bosnia. Next week, we're going to have the blessing of having John and Betsy Gronseth here, and they're in China, and they're doing an amazing ministry there. And I know They have not been here for about 8 or 9 years, but John and Betsy are some of the most amazing, humble folks that you'll ever meet. And they have an amazing story to tell. Some of you might even be called to spend more time in the inner city of Phoenix. We go down to Sunny Slope and other places. He might even be calling you to change your career focus of your life because you felt the Lord's leading. Honestly, this is happening in our congregation right now. Right now. All of us are called to pray because prayer is powerful. And if God is calling, folks, we need to follow. We need to follow. Are we really too busy to make friends and to allow God to use us? I don't think so. I don't think so. How about from now on when you get up every single morning? First thing when you open your eyes, pray, God, I do not know what this day is going to bring, but you know what? Use me. I'm available. I'm willing. I'm willing. When I think about the fact that our first 20 years are behind us, it's like, wow, where did that time go? But what are we going to do with the next 20, with the next 50? For the love of God and for the love of people, please listen to his call. Invest your life in serving. And I guarantee, no better yet, Jesus guarantees that your life will be the most fulfilling it can possibly be. Let's pray. God, this morning I want to thank you for calling us. I want to thank you for entering time and space with Jesus and coming into our world and then him sacrificing himself for us to show us what real love is and to show us how much he loves each of us. And then, God, I want to thank you for including us in your mission. You didn't have to. You didn't have to. But God, you chose to let us be involved with you in what you're doing in this world. And there's nothing greater. There's nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing more amazing than to follow your call and then be willing to do whatever you say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.